Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast. My name is Jamie and I'm your host. And you lucky folks, are tuning into what we have lovingly called the Queer Family Podcast Pride Extravaganza. What's that, you say? It's not Pride Month anymore? Yes, I realize that. I do realize that. But what I told you last week was that we got so much wonderful response from this Pride Extravaganza and double the episodes and all the amazing guests that we decided to add one more week to it. So we are extending Pride, which, as we all know, Pride is every day, right? We are extending it one more week. We have two more episodes that we cannot wait to share with you, one of which is the one today with Claire Wasserman, aka Claire Gets Paid on the socials. And Claire uses her platform to help women get paid. That's the premise of what she does. And let's be real, us ladies could use some help getting paid sometimes, including yours truly. If you listened to last week's episode, you know. But Claire has also been very upfront and visible and honest about her relationship and her path to queer parenthood. And when we spoke a while back, Claire was right in the throes of it, right in the throes of trying to get queer pregnant. And as we know, that can be a journey. That can be a journey. And so this episode is for those of you who may be contemplating getting started, or those of you who are in the throes of it right now, like Claire, or who have been in the throes of it for a very long time, right? And so this is a chance for you to hear your story, some of your story mirrored back to you. And I think it can be very cathartic and soothing, especially when you're in the throes of it and it's not working. So, and I'm sending all the baby juju to all of you out there who are in that place right now. Sending all the love. But this is also for everyone else. This is for everyone because it's a wonderful story and you're going to love it. You're going to get a lot out of it. And Claire is amazing and beautiful and a change maker like everybody else in the Pride Extravaganza is. You're going to love it. And it's July. I realize that it's July. And I have a question for all of y'all because, you know, like Pride Month is so wonderful. I have so much positive energy all through June. I just love it so much. And my kids love it. And there's all this buildup and excitement. And then the Pride celebration finally happens. The parade happens, the march, the rainbow parade, which is what my five-year-old calls it. It happens. And it's such a wonderful day. And that just happened. And now we're in July and I feel like a deflated balloon a little bit, like, oh, sigh, Pride is done. Pride is done. And we have a whole nother, it's like Christmas, right? When Christmas is over, if you celebrate Christmas, or, you know, it's one of the big holidays, right? And, you know, like I'm feeling like a little down after it. But as we know, all of us who listen or watch this show, y'all know that Pride is every day. I mean, we show up visibly every day. Pride is every day for us. And so my question to you is, how do you celebrate your Pride throughout the year? What do you do to celebrate? What do you do for Pride? We show up, we're visible. What do you do with your kids? What do you do with your families to celebrate your queerness? And we should be celebrating every day how wonderful and beautiful and unique this community is, right? What do you do? I want to know. Let me know in the comments wherever you listen or watch. I want to know how you celebrate. Send me a video. Send me a voice memo. And I'll put it in some kind of compilation. I don't know. I'm thinking off the top of my head here. But let's keep Pride going. Pride doesn't end. Pride doesn't end just because June ends, right? Let's keep it going. I do want to tell you one more thing. You got to listen through to the entire episode because we have a little update from Claire at the end, which you're going to want to hear. It's very exciting news. So listen to the whole thing. Obviously, you already do, I'm sure. But just make sure you listen to the whole thing. A couple more things. If you love this content and you want to help us create even more queer family goodness content, please consider joining our Patreon. You're going to do a good thing and you're going to get bonus content over there on the Patreon, like video episodes dropped a day early. Who doesn't want to be in the know first? And other bonus content, all the other things I can think of to put up there for you. It's your special little Patreon community. So please go over there, patreon.com/queerfamilypodcast, and find a tier that works for you and join. And I will love you forever and ever. Amen. If you do so. Also, if you're watching the video, you can watch all of our video episodes now at YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. And they're all up there and they're beautiful and I love them. And they're edited by my wonderful editor, Gerson, who does such an amazing job. You have to go check the videos out if you haven't done that already. And you can also buy my merchandise at TeePublic.com/the Queer Family Podcast. I have various designs. Go get one of them. Represent all year. It doesn't end when Pride ends. So keep the representation going. And don't forget to follow us on all the social media platforms. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. You can find us everywhere you didn't want us and more. And we're here. All right. So I got to roll the tape. I got to ask my lovely assistants, Helen and Beulah, who don't exist, but they're going to stick around forever, to please roll this tape and enjoy Claire's story because it's a really good one. And then go follow Claire because you're going to want to follow all of these folks who are just doing things to make this world a better place. And I'm grateful to all of you for tuning in. I'm grateful to all of the guests who showed up for the Pride Extravaganza. We have so much more goodness coming at you. I love y'all. Enjoy and stay to the end for the update because it's good. It's real good. Okay. Mwah. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Enjoy. Roll the tape. Helen and Beulah, please roll the tape, ladies. Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Claire.
Hello, Jamie.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to have Claire Wasserman here to join us for the Pride Extravaganza. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Before we do anything, let's just get right into, let's do it. Before we chit-chat, let's go right into our 30-second elevator pitch so that the listeners at home can know who you are and why you're here talking to this queer fam squad. And I'm going to put this 30-second timer up. Don't you fret. I will never cut you off. And it is all just in good fun. And I actually think you're going to nail this in a beautiful way. Are you ready?
We'll find out.
Here we go. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Well, hello. I am Claire Wasserman, the founder and author of Ladies Get Paid, which is an educational platform, global community, and book all about helping women level up, earn more, feel better, do better, live better. I have a lot to talk about in the 6 years of running my community, growing my community, in that process, getting sued by a group of men's rights activists. Yes, that is a real thing. And what I learned throughout, but a big piece of it was that I met my wife in doing Ladies Get Paid. But maybe even better than that, I left my husband, for now my wife, who also has become my co-founder of Ladies Get Paid. So there is a lot to talk about in that. And we are embarking on making a gaby. So in the process of getting pregnant, we'll find out tomorrow. Those are my 30 seconds.
Whoa, that was your 30 seconds, which was actually like 52, but I'll take it.
Oh, shit. Okay. I didn't practice. That's why. Yeah.
No, but you covered it all. And that was beautifully done and beautifully said. And there is so much to unpack here. Yes. Okay. Wait a second. We're going to get into your business, I think probably later so we can share where people can find you. And I think I need you to level up. I think I need that too. So everybody needs this. And then we need to get into how you got sued and all of this. But I want to take it to, I didn't know you were married to a man.
Yeah. And it's fun that it's been so long now. I mean, I've been with Ashley for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. But it's fun now that it's at the point where it is surprising to somebody that I could have been married to a man, when there was very much a time in my life when it would have been shocking to discover that I was with a woman. I had no idea that I loved women. And in fact, I had no idea I was a feminist until probably 8 years ago. And it's wild because I really consider myself a very self-aware person.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, because, right, you know, we have all these different parts of us. And I think I only was, you know, allowing myself to be in touch with certain parts that felt, quote, acceptable. Until, and then you start unlocking bits and pieces of your life, you know? So for me, it wasn't, oh, I love women. It was, I'm angry about the wage gap. I'm angry about the leadership gap. That was the gateway drug into realizing that I much prefer the company of women in all ways of my life.
So that's what the Republicans should be policing, yeah, right? The women who are worried about the wage gap, not all the other things they're going after. I mean,
yeah.
That's the gateway.
I unfortunately, for better, I was sort of thought I needed to be kind of a cool girl and socialized with a lot of men and had a lot of male bosses and male mentors. And I have brothers and, had a bunch of mean girls in high school. So I just didn't get to have, female friendship in my life.
That bond. Mm-hmm. And I feel you. And you also you want to be a girl that can hang with the guys. It's terrible.
Isn't that? I hate that. And I was totally that person. I know I was that person.
I think that's very universal. I think that a lot of women go through this. And for me personally, when I came out after college and I came out so slowly, I just touched my toe. I was I'm bisexual, right. but I was bisexual for 9 years.
Oh,
but I was I was in a committed relationship with a woman, but I was still bisexual. You know what I mean? Took me a long time. And I think a lot of the reason why it was so hard for me was because I was so used to being that quote unquote perfect girl. Mm-hmm. I did all the right things that a girl does, which is so effed up, right? So you unpack that and then you're I like women. And also I'm a feminist.
Yeah. So when I first started getting angrier and angrier about the wage gap, that was probably in 2015. And I'd had a pretty sexist experience that kind of opened my eyes up to all the sexist experiences I'd had in my life that I had never really confronted. Because
what was the one?
Yeah, it was sort of funny. I was at an advertising festival in the south of France, and I was working for a company that helps connect creative freelancers for work. So we were there to find clients, these companies who would, sign up, become subscribers. And this guy came up to me and he just said, "Well, hello. Now tell me, whose wife are you?"
Oh.
And for whatever reason, that was the spark, the aha moment. There's a thing called an awakening, Gloria Steinem talks about it. My awakening was this guy innocently asking, "Whose wife are you?" Right. And what it did for the rest of the week was it really colored all of the interactions that I had with these men. And it was me recognizing the uncomfortable gender power dynamics, the exhaustion of contorting myself to smile when a bad joke has been made, or I'm in a group of men and they all shake each other's hands but won't shake mine. What are we, Orthodox Jewish? I'm Jewish, so I can say it. Or you can't look me in the eye. Why are you cheating on your wife by looking me in the eye? You can't trust yourself. And what was fascinating about that experience was I saw how quickly I went from recognizing it was happening externally to internalizing it. Oh, it must be my fault. If I'm being hit on or not taken seriously, well, I'm too friendly, or my skirt's too short, or boys will be boys. I also remember going into the women's restroom and feeling a sense of relief. It was all the women were hiding in there,
Yes.
And then they were exchanging business cards and lipstick, and they were being, they wanted money, but they also wanted fashion advice. It was this different, total different energy. And I'd really never been in an environment of all women. And what is so
the sisterhood.
And so, And so it's interesting, I didn't create Ladies Get Paid for another year or so after that experience, but the sexist experiences coupled with the women's restroom really kind of stuck with me as these kind of profound pillars that I wanted to explore more.
I love that the women's restroom is one of the pillars. I think that should be a quote in your next book. It might have to be the title of your next book.
Yeah.
Women's restroom.
The ladies' room.
Agreed. All right. So you have your aha moment and you're married to a man at this point?
Yeah. So I was. Sorry, Eric. It was an interesting thing. So first of all, another reason I think I didn't understand my sexuality at all was I was a serial monogamist. I always had a boyfriend, but they were always long distance. also very interesting. Yeah, I was like, I had a, had the sort of emotional safety net without actually having to physically like be with them or deal with them. I'm also an extremely independent and ambitious person. So it was important to me always to like, if I could find a man who would applaud my ambition, that felt, you know, and didn't expect something traditional from me. And the way that I met Aaron, like this sex. Was, yeah, yeah, like, or anything, like literally anything from me, you know, again, it's just like the emotional safety net or like the, just the idea of like, okay, I'm married. I can check this off my butt off, you know, check this off. But I had met my ex-husband under very unusual circumstances that I think really colored and changed the relationship. So we met on Birthright. So Birthright Israel, you, if you're Jewish, you know, you get a free trip to Israel, 10 days, right. fully yeah. paid for. And I did that when I was, I think, 25. And when I did this trip, I actually got laryngitis. And as you can probably tell, I speak a lot. So it was
it must have been so hard for you.
But I trusted myself more in my connection with this man because I was not doing the song and dance. I was not doing mm-hmm. the Claire performance. Like I just was being, right? Instead of doing. And that was something mm-hmm. I was trying to work on. And so I felt like we had this sort of soul connection. And I literally met his parents after 10 days because they picked him up at the airport. And I straight up moved into his apartment.
Well, you basically U-hauled. I mean, living that lesbian life. Let's be real, Claire. You just U-haul, but it was just the wrong gender.
Yes. And then, yeah, and he proposed after 6 months. And then we got married after 10 months and we were married for 2 years. So, you know, it was a 4-year relationship that just shouldn't have had a marriage certificate, you know? Mm. But I have to say, I did change, and part of my changing was the 2016 presidential election. And a lot of us changed. Yeah. And I recognized that my values around women and women's rights, that was not a nice to have. That would be a deal breaker if you did not only support that, but like show up to the protests. And here's the ironic thing is Ashley, who's now my wife, but she was just a member of the community. She was showing up to all the events. She was offering to help. She and Eric never met, but I would talk about her all the time. And Eric said, I think you should make her your co-founder. He match made us. He doesn't love that. He sure did that. I know. I was like, good karma for you. Like, why are you not happier about this? Yeah, but he was like, you guys would make really good partnership. And I made her my co-founder. And I eventually made her the CEO of Ladies Get Paid.
Yeah. But
that's kind of how we met. And
you made her more than just your co-founder.
Well, partner. That's what we say.
What happens? So like, she's the co-founder with you. You're in business together, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened? Mm-hmm. When did it all unfold?
So Eric also, it's so funny because when we got married, our announcement was in the New York Times. And I talked about this in the New York Times a little bit. And when the journalist was interviewing me about this part, they got real fascinated, which was Eric and I decided to have an open marriage. He had always wanted it from the beginning. I didn't. Then I was having like increasingly this instinct that like, if I didn't explore my attraction to women, I would really regret it. Mm-hmm. I also, quite frankly, I mean, he and I just values wise, we were not on the same page. I had turned 30. He wanted kids immediately. That was very important to him. And you know what? I respect him for that because if you want something, you put it out there. Like if you say having kids by age 30, if you can't do that with me, we're not aligned. Like, so it's always interesting though, when like the man says it, which in this case,
it seems a little bit reversed, I guess you could say. Yeah.
So it was a couple of things. So I said, let's do the open marriage, which I think was probably my way of, or I don't want to ascribe like your bisexual label on the road to lesbian, but like, my like toe in the water of, this relationship is not working. Right. I'm not ready for a divorce, but we got to do something differently.
Mm-hmm. You eased in.
Yeah. I was out with Ashley at an event, actually in San Francisco. I thought she was talking about this other woman who she'd had a crush on, but it was unrequited. Turns out actually she wasn't, but I thought she was. And I just stopped her and I said, you are so amazing. Because it really pissed me off that this other woman wasn't you know? And I said, can I kiss you? Like, I did it almost out of anger because I just needed her to understand, like, she was just so incredible. How could this other woman not see it? And I kissed her and I was like, all right, this is what we're doing. This is...
Wait. Was she talking about you when she was saying this?
No, she had a friend. No, she had a friend.
Like, I was like, this is a rom-com that needs to be written. Well,
this
somebody
is,
needs
oh, we
to
say
this.
That. Yes. We say this all the time because she, when she came to the First Ladies Get Paid event, she literally took a photo of me, sent it to her friend, and said, do you think she's gay? I think she's gay. Like, I'm getting the gator, like, my gator, I'm getting it. But I had a ring. She was like, I don't think she's married to a woman. And then found out that I was married to a man and totally put me in a get back category. Like, you know, don't even, and she said this, I think the New York Times piece of like, number one rule of being a lesbian is don't fall for a straight chick or whatever, you know, it was sort of funny about it. So really compartmentalized me, even though she was getting the vibes from me, it was like, this is not, until I was like, yeah, I want to kiss you. And somehow it wasn't complicated. That's the thing that I am just so grateful for, to first and foremost myself and my intuition, but also to Ashley. Yes, it would be complicated to get me out of the marriage, but me and her, it was obvious. It was like night and day, gray to Technicolor, like Wizard of Oz style. Oh, this is who I should be with. What was I doing before? So I never doubted that this was the direction I wanted to go in. I actually wasn't worried about it at all because my feelings were so strong. I trusted them.
Yeah. And not only are you showing us that you're a serial monogamist, you are also a serial U-hauler.
I know. But that's also because living in New York, like, you got to share rent. You know, otherwise it's too expensive. And also true. At the time, Eric and I were based in Maine, in Portland, Maine. And that was also part of the reason she and I started getting closer is when I would come to New York, I would stay with her. She already had a part of my closet that had my clothes in it. Like,
so I mean, it was a done deal. It was a done deal. And she was already living that gay lifestyle. Like, she was already queer.
Yeah, but she actually, it took her till a few years out of college, actually. It was just different. Like, different, Gen Z now, like, they're assumed queer if stated otherwise. Like,
right,
you know?
Exactly. So different.
For her, she found herself working at the Human Rights Campaign thinking she was straight. And then everyone there is like, no. But she'd never had any boyfriends before. So she didn't have that element of, like, she wasn't confused. She just had to deal with Catholic shame.
You know, like, we get to it how we get to it. And our journeys are insane, all of them, right? Yeah. They're beautiful.
I just wished that I, again, this is just a personal thing I'm working on, is you think you know yourself and then shit happens. Like, just like constantly, just don't ever come to any conclusions about yourself.
Which brings me to babies. Uh-huh. And the lack of control therein. And I think that your first lesson in parenthood, especially for queer folks, is when you embark on this fertility journey. It's your first lesson because you're going to soon see when that baby is here and the baby's coming. When that baby's here, there's no control. The control is such a crazy concept. No, we don't have control. There's no control. There is no control.
Well, here's the thing, though. What I've realized, though, yes, like, this is a full ass exercise in dealing with my issues of control, but there actually is so much you can control in this process. So it gets confusing. Picking the sperm donor, and I have like three generations of medical records that they give me. You know, I'm listening to their voices for a $25 upgrade. Yes, I did pay for that.
On this show, I call that the sperm donor search, the search for Superman, because we get cray cray because we have all the choices. I want to get into that. Before we do, though, I want to talk about the conversation. So, like, you fall in love, you get married, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that took a few years to get married because I needed some space to between the last one and this one. So we got married January of last year.
Beautiful. Congrats. And then what was the conversation surrounding let's have a baby? Because this is a loaded conversation for us as well, because there's so many decisions that need to be made before we even get to the point where we're buying sperm or an egg donor or whatever it is that we're doing, right? So what was the conversation?
Well, first of all, how cool is it that we can have so much choice? Like there was no default. I mean, I am caring or I will carry, but like the fact that that could be an option that I didn't, I mean, obviously would not have been a discussion in my hetero marriage.
Right. Yeah.
So that was cool. And also just like lots of discussion about the kind of donor we wanted and our values and the way we wanted to raise our kids and what division of labor would look like, which are all things that all kinds of people should be discussing before they have families. But we so often don't, because there's the default of, you know, the heteronormative way that we're raised in society.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was like all things are on the table. And that was kind of cool. What was less cool was how freaking expensive this is going to be. You kind of can't just get knocked up. Like we have to go buy sperm. We have pay for insemination.
There are no accidental pregnancies. That's the problem. We can't just bang and then, oops, that doesn't happen for us.
And we also, and since we work together, you know, there isn't one of us who's like the breadwinner here or who makes a man's paycheck, you know? So there's also in some ways a lack of safety that we can often feel. I mean, literally just walking down the street, right? We don't, I mean, my husband was 6'4", you know, my wife is 5'2" and I'm 5'4". Like I'm the big one. It's just like such a weird, you know? And so now that we're embarking on this very vulnerable experience, physically vulnerable, to have the lack of man there is an interesting thing to go through. But I also feel so much more emotionally supported. So financially less supported, but you know, I'm not worried about, is my partner going to change diapers, which was absolutely going to be an issue with the last husband.
You knew you wanted to go the sperm bank route. That's the route you went, right? So was there talk of using a known donor at all? Or was that always just, was that an easy decision?
We did discuss it briefly because there's like a friend of hers, you know, we would sort of joke like, he would be a good one, but we don't want them to have any relationship with, like, we want to be the parents. So it felt that was important. And then I just started to casually look. I just wanted to see what was out there.
As you do.
Yeah.
You're just shopping.
Yeah. And slim pickings, unfortunately. There's a shortage. There's a sperm shortage.
At the sperm bank?
Yeah, I actually wrote an article about it, about my whole experience, particularly from the financial standpoint, for Well and Good. And I talked to their VP of Customer Success, and he said there is a massive sperm shortage. Number one, quote, specimen quality has declined. So poor guys, you know.
Yeah.
And that there's not as many of them who want to donate because a lot of these banks now are requiring identification. So you cannot be an anonymous donor. We see your adult pictures, right? And that was never like that before.
When I was doing it, there were no adult pictures. Well, no, there were none.
And they require that now. They require that now. So when you look in the donor listing, they'll have older donors that, you know, don't have those pictures, and they cost less. Like you just you know, pay a premium. And we went with California Cryobank, which says that they accept. Yeah. Okay. So they accept 1% of the people who donate. So on top of the fact that there's already a shortage, they're, you know, not accepting many. And we were looking specifically for a donor who was of Italian or Greek origin, because that's my wife. And she felt like that, you know, sharing that kind of cultural DNA would, and there's not many.
Right. Because if she's not going to have a biological connection, then you want, Can I just ask you before we dig deeper into the donor search, was she cool with not having a biological connection? Was there, I know you can't speak for her, but.
No, I can now because we're married. No, and this is what we do. No, it's fascinating. Yeah, she has no urge. She has no urge to carry and does not feel like she needs to be biologically related to them at all.
That's the best way. Like if you're both in agreement and it works, right?
Yeah. But she was very adamant about the Italian or Greek component. That was really, so it's like, of all the things, like she doesn't need to be related to them, but if they were not of that origin, that would not feel connected to her.
Bye-bye. Okay, so this is why I call this the search for Superman. I don't think that's a crazy parameter.
I don't think it's unreasonable. No.
But like, you know, we get into this thing and then we're looking at these people and it's like, we get crazy because, and maybe it's going to change a little bit because the choice isn't, but when I was doing it, the choice was insane.
No, it's still insane.
We're both white and we're both blonde. So, and we were both carrying one of each, right? So she was going to carry the first. And so we were looking for a donor with our features, which unfortunately for us, like that's the main, that's the main number of donors you can find at a sperm bank. Like,
yeah, you had too much choice. We had too little. Yeah, it is interesting though. When you, for me, when I was looking at the medical history, because you can see three generations, there's always going to be issues somewhere, you know? Yeah. And so then you just start weighing, well, which issue is worse? And also, if they're, let's say they're more attractive, but their SAT scores were worse.
Right, right, right. And you have the SAT scores, which is crazy. Right.
So then you're just like, okay, on this list of things that are most important, what combination? Because it's not like if you say one thing versus the next thing, okay, you can pick what's most important, but it's the combination. So, all right, do we take a smarter, less attractive guy with a, you know, cleaner medical health, but wait, father was an alcohol, suffered from alcoholism.
Right.
Is that the deal breaker? You know, so it really, you start splitting hairs with this stuff. Yeah.
It's the search for Superman. You're looking for the perfect specimen.
We did find somebody.
Oh, you found the perfect one? You found him.
He's an Italian Jew.
There you go. Oh my God. You got best of both worlds.
We got our pizza bagel, although it actually says technically he does not have to be Jewish because I already am. So now, yeah, but here's what's sort of fun though about this guy is she did a deep dive into Ashkenazi Jewish history. Is it so rare that somebody's of that, like not Sephardic, but Ashkenazi. And she found that the common last name is Tedesco, and that is a name in her family.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So technically by marriage, but she has, you know, a whole lineage in her family with that last name. They haven't done 23andMe yet. They could be Jewish and not know it, which would be wild. So she felt there was a family connection. There was sort of like kismet in that. And the last thing though, and I know you have other questions for me, but the funny thing, you'll get a big kick out of this because you're from SF. I ended up buying the donor while I was on the BART going to SFO.
Nice.
And it was crashing. It was crashing on my phone and his vials were going down because these people get sold out. And I'm like, no, you know, and ended up buying half the dose. They say that they recommend 8 vials if you want 2 kids from the same donor. We did 4. It's so expensive otherwise.
It's so how much does it, I want to ask how much you've bought because I am a major advocate for buying a lot of freaking sperm, only because I went through 3 years of infertility and it's a long story, but you never know what's going to happen. But how much does a vial of jizz go for these days?
$1,800.
For one vial?
Yes.
It was half. Yeah. It was half when I was doing it.
The cheapest they have is $1,100 now. So that, because again, the older guy is without the picture. So,
and that's the non-donor ID release.
Yeah. Mostly. ID release is $1,800 because the prices just went up. So I think when we bought it, maybe it was like $1,650. So that times 4, I was like, that's the limit. We can't do more than that.
Yeah, and insurance doesn't pay for any of this. It's not even like on their radar. Like that's not even something that's on the table. And
like, and the state of California, not progressive when it comes to this issue.
None of them for sperm, forget it. For buying sperm, get out of here. They're never buying that.
But also I actually had froze my eggs when I was 32. So we knew that if we were gonna go the IVF route, half of that process is already done.
Well, that's good. So then you're only looking at like $9,000 for the IVF.
Right, which is better than 25 or whatever it was. Right. So it's with 4 vials, you know, we'll do 3 tries with IUI. Well, we've done 1 try already, so we'll do 2 more tries. And then, you know, as you know, 1 vial of sperm, you know, I got 28 eggs. So hopefully that means you could have multiple, you know, kids from there. But we also might end up deciding we'll trade this guy in and we'll go with a different donor. You know, if we're to the point where it's not working, he's out now. I mean, I'm on a wait list. They called me and I got off the wait list, but I opted not to take more at the time. So there's a little bit of, again, like control and fate, right? We're making decisions, but we're also letting go of what happens after we make the decision.
You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to go down. Like I've talked to people who they've traveled to, like my previous co-host traveled to Colombia to get a vial of her donor because she wanted the siblings to be the same. And like you'll go to the ends of the earth to try to make it happen the way you want, but it's going to happen the way it happens.
Yeah.
It's going to happen the way it happens. And in the end, it's all going to be okay.
And also to make, to take each decision as it comes. So to not get too far ahead of us. I mean, we do need to think ahead in the, yes, you want to purchase multiple vials and increase your chances that they're related. But I also can't get caught up in the, oh my God, what happens when we're at the third try? We're not there yet. We're at the second try.
No. Right. And you're good. You've got time and you have an IVF waiting if you need it, and you have some vials, and you know, whatever happens, happens. And I wanted to tell you this, if you do already have a child through a donor and they are no longer in the system, I mean, they've been retired, as they say.
Yes. Yeah.
If you already have a child, you can request the bank, California Cryobank is what I did, to ask them if they would come out of retirement for a sibling.
Wow.
And our donor did.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I didn't know that.
Yes. I don't know. This was a while ago. This was probably 7 years ago. So you ask them and then they go to the donor and they ask, they say there's a sibling and they want to have another one. And you know, it's up to the donor, but you have to agree to buy all the vials they produce.
So you're like, be fertile, but not too fertile.
Okay.
It's so wild. And even the language, right? When you call him out, oh, they've retired them, right?
They're retired. He's retired.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yes.
Utterly fascinating.
It's a lot. And that's why shows like this need to exist. And that's why you talk about this so much, because people don't understand. People don't realize.
And they have a lot of questions. So many of our straight men.
Sure,
and they're so funny because they're like, do you mind? They like whisper, do you mind if I ask? And, oh, yes, yes. You know, we're not like, you know.
You cocktails in.
they're like so embarrassed. I'm like, guys, we're new to this too. We don't know how this works.
Yeah.
This is also a brave new world. Like what they're showing on now they're showing people's pictures. Like, and apparently we get a quote keepsake after we get pregnant. Like we're going to get some sort of like gift from the donor.
The donor
keeps me out. I don't know about that. What did you get?
It's just like a folder with all the info and like what we got years ago. And it's different now. You get like a USB drive actually for your donor keepsake now, something like that, right? Back in the old days when we did it 7 to 12 years ago, it's a folder and it's got their picture and all their info. It's got his essay. It's got his everything. It's got everything that we purchased at the bank.
Okay.
But all on paper. And so, and like, it's really great because when, you know, as a queer parent, it's really important that we're open and honest about our kids' origin stories, because we don't want them to, you know, all of a sudden when they're 15, realize, oh my God, you didn't tell me I am raised by a, I mean, like our kids know, like by the time they're like 2, that something's a little different about my family, but it's so important that we remain open and honest with them. And so I have it. And when my daughter's 9, so my son doesn't ask about it so much, but my daughter, when she asks, I said, well, I have pictures. I have his baby pictures. You want to look? And we open up the folder and we look at it again. And yeah.
Okay. I have questions for you about this. So when did they first ask you about, we're different from the others, or like, when did that first come up? And then, what's her reaction to seeing that? Because I can already feel Asha being like, burn the picture. Like, I don't want to show them this, you know, donor. I'm the daddy. So how did you handle that?
Right. So first of all, we started with, you can buy books that talk about, you know, there's books you can buy that, like there's this, I can't think of the name and I'm going to have to put it in the show notes, but it's a UK organization and they have books that are for any kind of like family makeup you can think of. 2 moms with donor sperm, 2 moms with a known donor. Like they do it all. They have, you know, and you can just get the book you want. And it kind of it's this little book. So we got that book when she was born and we would just read it to her randomly every night, just, you know, before she even understood. Just so now she's learning sperm. She's learning uterus. She's learning donor. She knows donor. She knows all these terms, right? It's an easy way to just introduce the topic, even though she's not showing it at home, even though she might not have any issues with it at all. Kids are saying different things. Kids can be saying things at school and in the world. And like the thing is, when they get what they need, then they're done with the conversation and they walk away. The thing is, you drop the seeds. And they pick them up when they're ready to pick them up.
Yeah, that's great. My other question is, what names do you go by? Because that was something one of my brothers asked us that. He said, "Who are you both mom? Are you going to have a discussion about this?" Like we both looked at each other. We were like, we have no idea.
We decided before the baby came, when Anne was pregnant, we decided, and it was kind of hard because we both wanted to be mommy. And I took one for the team, and I'm now mama and she's mommy. And that's what we go by. And that both kids call. And but at this point, like, it's mom. No, ma. not that one. The other one. Like, it's, you know, it gets, but if they have to differentiate, they call me mama and her mommy. And it her she will probably turn to mom, you know, as they get older, and I'll be mama. It's, you know, like, if you let your kid decide, you just don't know what they're gonna come up with.
Right.
But some folks love that. And that was not for us. But
again, just the fact that this is like open for discussion is so fascinating and fun and, of course, overwhelming. But I mean, again, would never have thought that this was something I needed to contemplate. Like, nothing's assumed anymore.
Exactly. And these are, this is why visibility matters so much and representation matters so much, because we shouldn't have to be like Googling this stuff. We should just see it everywhere. We should, because queer families are really everywhere. I mean, it's not like we're a scarcity. It's just not represented in the mainstream world. And so that's why this kind of stuff matters so much.
Something that's interesting for us is I'm thinking now, pretty much all of our lesbian friends do not want to have children. Kind of a bummer. Kind of a bummer, though. We're like trading pregnancy advice and family advice, you know, with our the hetero friends. And that kind of, you know, that's why I'm so thrilled to talk. It's like, I know this is an interview with me, but I'm like, can I ask you all the questions? Because literally all of our lesbian friends are like, we like our life. We actually like our life and our relationship. We don't feel like we need to make a family to complete what we already have, which is so refreshing and beautiful.
Right. But also, that doesn't help me very much, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you're part of this family now.
Yeah.
And you always, I'm here for you. I'm not an expert in any way.
But you're going through it. And like, that's fascinating. And also my brother and his wife are trying to get pregnant. And so going in this journey with them and, you know, their privilege, you know, the hetero privilege of, oh, you know, like even just picking out ovulation tests, you know, she's picking out tests where it's a 4-day window, but that doesn't work for us because I got to go in and get inseminated on like the exact 24-hour window.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
Are you doing like trigger shots and things like that? Or you're just...
For the first round, they had me do Ovidrel, just the trigger shot to... guarantee ovulation, you know, that the egg was dropping. And then I don't know for the second round if we'll probably do medication. I'm a little nervous about, as they say, multiples, especially because I have twin brothers who are, well, they're identical. So that was random, but I have fraternal first cousins. So I'm a little nervous about that. But at least if we have twins the first try, then we're done. Yeah, but our bank account will also be done. So I don't know.
Well, no, you're gonna be a lady that gets paid. That's what we're gonna do.
We thought also sponsorship, right? Like, hey, listen, you have lesbians with twins. Like, there could be increased sponsorship opportunity for that. I don't know.
Yeah, you already have the platform. Here we go. Here we just start ladies, documenting it.
Babies get paid. Babies get paid.
There it is. You just started a brand, Claire. You just started a brand, and there it is. We're asking everybody in the Pride Extravaganza, what does pride mean to you? And I know it's a loaded question, so I'm sorry that I just dropped it on you, but what does pride mean to you, Claire Wasserman?
I think off the top of my head, or I guess just the instinct I have about pride is just unabashedly yourself, like no fucks given. I am here and queer. There you go.
There it is. Yeah. I love that. And it's true, right? We have to be more unabashedly ourselves. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a beautiful little segue into your business and what you do and how people can reach out to you. And I want to know it all.
Yes. So our mission is to help women earn more and live better. And we do that through webinars, conferences, boot camps. We've also got a massive Slack channel and a circle group. 55,000 people are on Slack. They've exchanged almost 3 million messages. Just a very, very giving, supportive community. So you can check us out at ladiesgetpaid.com. Also on all social platforms, we're Ladies Get Paid. Me on Instagram, you can find me. I'm Claire Gets Paid. And other than that, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, I'm working on my own new podcast to come out hopefully soon-ish.
Okay.
But best place to catch me is probably, you know, Instagram, LinkedIn. Also, if anybody is seeking work, good news. We host a free job seeker support group every Monday at noon Eastern time. It's virtual.
You're just a firecracker and you're going to go up, 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 and you're going to have like triplets and it's oh, life God, is going to
no,
be.
No, no, not triplets.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't even put that in. It's not happening. It's fine. You're fine.
My body will be very unhappy about that one. My mom's so excited about all this, but she's made it very clear. She said, no night duty. I'm not doing nights. And she like said it with such a ferocity. It was like, okay, no one asked you. And also it's been like 30 plus years since you had to do nights. So you're okay.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Get ready. It's going to be beautiful. And it's also going
to
be hard.
I really do think, I mean, I don't want to continue to like gender other people's relationships. I do want to give Ashley like all the credit in the world, but I just think we're going to have such an more fun because our partnership is equal. There is no, I mean, of course there'll be the default, the fact that like I gave birth and will like hopefully nurse, but like I have no hesitation or concern that she's going to like not be fully, fully invested in this in exactly the way that I as a woman would be too. And I quite frankly would have that concern with the man. So I just feel every day I wake up just so grateful to be a lesbian.
Me too, every day. And I have to say like, My wife and I, we share everything 50-50. And I think that started because she dropped the ball on me that I was going to be the one that carried all the time. Like it was always going to be me. And so like she threw a curveball at me and then I got crazy and I wasn't ready to be a non-bio mom. Like that was hard for me. And we're still 50-50 to this day. But for us, it was more like we both wanted to be mama bears.
And that brings a whole other set of dynamics to it.
Yes, yes. But we've worked it out and it's amazing and it's beautiful how it works out. And yes, we, for the most part with the kids, we are, as long as we can be, we're 50-50 and it works.
And that's a huge reason why there's issues. Yeah, yeah. And that's a huge reason why there's issues. Like the wage gap, the leadership gap, I mean, it really begins when the woman has a first child, and a huge part has to do with at work, she's not being as respected, but also at home, she's right. Not being supported enough. So she's doing both the labor, physical and emotional labor at home, as well as at work. It's the lack of, true partnership to support her. So it just feels, I just, again, feel incredibly lucky.
Yeah, me too. It's the best. Being gay is best. Queer is the way to go. And I believe that on all fronts. Y'all have to come to the right side. Come over to the other side. Come to the left side.
You sure you didn't want to name this podcast The Gay Agenda?
I have written that many times, The Gay Agenda, but maybe that's the next iteration of the show. We'll see. We'll see. I am so grateful to you for coming on, and you're just a firecracker, and I can't wait to watch you soar and grow. And I am giving you all the baby juju.
Thank you.
In your 2-week wait and beyond, however anything goes down. Yeah. And, we're all, and you have to update us now because you're a part of the Queer Fam Squad.
I post about this stuff at Claire Gets Paid, and it's getting a lot of engagement too, which is sort of fun. People are really invested in this.
Yes, because we want to know everybody.
And I feel less alone when I share it, I am also recognizing that I am sharing things like way before you're quote supposed to, right? So if I'm not actually pregnant, I'm going to have to share that. Well, I don't have to do anything, but I want to, if and when I have a miscarriage, like gonna share that, right? Because they're gonna know not at the 3-month mark, they're gonna know at the day one mark. And so that's also been just an interesting experience of, deciding what to share, how to share it, transparency, am I doing it for them? Am I doing it for me? Am I doing it for the likes? Like it's this third participant in our relationship, but it's always been like that. Cause Ashley and I run Ladies Get Paid together. So it's just a new kind of,
you're
element.
In the public.
Yeah. So, but I'm really enjoying the support again of just all kinds of people out there. Just like, here's like the medication I used again, you can Google this stuff, but until you hear it from a real person, it at least for me doesn't sink in the way that, this whole experience has been so powerful because of the story sharing aspect of it. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. Community matters. It matters so much. Visibility, sure does. Community, representation. You have to do what you have to though, to protect your heart. So, if you have to protect your heart, you protect your heart. Do what you need to do. But we're sending all the listeners now are sending you the juju, all the baby juju. We make babies on the show. I don't know if you know that, Claire, but I make babies like just through the airwaves.
I love it. All right. Well, I'll let you know tomorrow then if it worked. And if it didn't, that's okay too.
Sending the baby juju. Maybe this is, you just don't know. You don't know. It's all going to happen. And everything's going to be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. You got this.
Ooh, I love that. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Aw, thank you.
Love is love is love is love.
Queer Family Podcast. Claire Wasserman here.
And I'm Ashley.
And we have an exciting update. Since I was the last on the podcast,
we're pregnant.
So we found out now about one week ago. So technically I am 5 weeks pregnant.
Our family of maybe three, if you count our cat, becomes four.
Though we will find out next week if it's twins. Either way, it took us three tries, IUI, which of course at the time felt like it was taking forever and of course costing a lot. But now that it actually happened, which fingers crossed at six, oh my gosh, I feel like it didn't take very long
at
all.
It just happened.
Yeah. All right. How did we find out? Well, it was 6:09 in the morning. I will never forget that time.
I mean, yeah, they tell you to like, oh, test in the morning. And you think, can I do it the night before? Like, what is, what do hours actually, like if we were on the East Coast, it would have been 3 hours later. Does that mean we could have done it at 3 a.m. here?
And all other cycles I had snuck in a pregnancy test before I was technically supposed to take it this time without telling her. This time I actually waited. So 6:09 in the morning, first pee. I pee on the stick. You immediately.
I covered it with a piece of paper.
She covered it with a piece of paper.
I didn't know how else to prevent us from just standing there and staring at it.
But here's the thing. Right before you put the piece of paper over it, I saw it had the double line already.
Which I think, you know, doing pregnancy tests in the after COVID testing age, you know, if you were testing for COVID and you did that stick and you saw that line right away, I mean, you knew, right? Which I don't know if we would have known pre-COVID.
So you're saying this brought up PTSD for COVID for you?
No, I felt educated by COVID.
Yeah, okay. Then we sat on the bed and it was the absolute longest 5 minutes of our entire lives. But
we just sat there saying, what do we do?
What do we do? What do we do? And I think we maybe had Alexa or go, you know, say ding, 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 check your alarm.
We did.
And we had the news that we'd been praying for, but I actually kind of felt numb. Like I was just in shock. I could not believe
that it worked.
Yeah. Couldn't believe that we actually had,
because you try and emotionally protect yourself from disappointment by not getting your hopes up.
Right.
But then you kind of get into this place where you can at sometimes just feel like it's never going to happen. So then when it does, it's surprising.
And also, we know that there's more hurdles to come, but we did get past.
It is very early.
Yes, very early. But we did get past a big one, and we are going to celebrate that. So we wanted to celebrate with you all.
And my immediate reaction was relief that we got to stop spending money on making this baby.
I know.
You know, it's been a big financial burden on us, and it's scary.
Yeah.
But
now it's a financial burden of actually paying for the baby when it's here.
But we're thrilled.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Lots of love. We'll keep you posted.
Queer Family Podcast.
Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Queer Family Podcast and the Pride Extravaganza. I have to say it like that every time or it just doesn't count. I can't stop it now. I've created something and that's the way it goes. If you do like what you hear or what you're watching on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe, rate, review us. All those things help us get this out to an even wider audience. Under the realm of visibility matters, it makes a huge difference. So please go do all those things and feel free to write a really nice review. I don't mind that ever. Ever. And also make sure you're following us on all the socials. We are on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at the Queer Family Podcast. Make sure you get your Pride merch with the Queer Family Podcast merchandise at tpublic.com/thequeerfamilypodcast, or you can also find that merchandise on our website, thequeerfamilypodcast.com. You can also find it in our Instagram link in bio if you're on Instagram more than anything. Do that. Do all that stuff. And join me on Patreon. Patreon, you're going to get you get the video episode dropped a day early, y'all, which is huge. And some other bonus stuff too. So head to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. Find the tier you can afford and join. I would love to see you over there. Let's create a big community. Let's be visible, folks. I love you all so much. I'm so happy you tuned in. Please tune into the next one. And if you feel like watching another Queer Family Podcast episode and you happen to be on YouTube, just click to the next one. You might as well just watch us all day. I'm going to say that every week at this point. Watch us all day. Watch Queer Family goodness all day long. Because who can get enough of that? No one. Come on. I love y'all. I'll see you next time. Oh, I mean, I'll be in your ears next time, however you are listening or watching. You know what I mean. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Mwah. I'll see you next time.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.